It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here, as always, in studio, live, ready to take phone calls. If you want to interrupt what we're doing, be my guest at 904-222-8255. Or, as we say around this building, 222-TALK. So you should know, if you're any kind of a regular, that whenever somebody calls, they get immediately to the head of the line. If you're new to the program, then if you either found it by accident or if somebody told you about it, including us, then stick around for the whole hour if you can. I promise you, you'll learn something, no matter how useful, no matter how useless. And if you have any questions, don't worry if they seem easy, because there's two aspects to that you might not understand. The first one is, your job is to make the host look good, so easy questions make us look better. But the second one is, if you don't know something out there, I promise you there are other people listening who also don't know the same thing, and nobody will make fun of you. And we don't tear your heads off if you tend to disagree with us. But I can't imagine why anyone would disagree with us.
No, I can't think of a reason.
Yeah, maybe somebody will come up with something. It is entering the week of Thanksgiving. How we got here, I haven't a clue.
Seems like the longest year and a really short year at the same time, which is a remarkable concept.
Yeah, there's a little cognitive dissonance. April was about, 871 days long?
Right. But
and yet here we are.
But it seems like Christmas was just a few weeks ago.
It does. So, and part of that, and I'm telling the truth here, is age-related.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, you know, the old roll of toilet paper thing.
Mm-hmm.
Farther you get into it, the quicker it goes.
No doubt.
And I have some other interesting news. We started this program nearly 7 years ago. In fact, on February 1st, we'll enter our seventh year of broadcasting live. And we have never missed a show, except for two times when they kicked us all out of town because of hurricanes. But during that time, it's very strange, but no major holiday has fallen on a Saturday.
Hmm.
How about that?
Yeah.
And this week, believe it or not, the holiday is not falling on Saturday either.
Okay.
So we're good for another month.
Yeah. Thank you.
I did check this morning, though, and the Christmas holiday, the Christmas New Year's, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve are Wednesdays, and Christmas Day and New Year's Day are Thursdays and Fridays, which means Saturday is the day after, which means I intend at least to do everything live, assuming that the staff around here will do it. So with a little luck, we'll get through another year without having been interrupted by a big legal holiday. Never know what else will happen, but that's the way it is. So just so you know, you will have trouble finding people who do their shows live during that time period. So just remember that we will be here.
If they allow us.
If they allow us, yes. There is very little, in my mind, that's more uninteresting than a rerun radio show.
Agreed.
Yeah. Now, why those other people have to record them first and come online, I don't know. I've always said they're afraid of what will happen when somebody asks them a question. But that's speculation. It may not be very nice. I don't know. Anyway, enough of that, right? I came up with my phrase for the week in the market, and it says, this week was a good start, failed.
Mine was deja vu, because this week felt a lot like last week, and that's because they were very, very similar. In fact, Monday started off with positive news about a COVID vaccine. Wait a second, where have I heard that before?
let's see, about a week ago Monday.
Yeah, last week it was the Pfizer vaccine. This week it was Moderna's turn, and the Moderna vaccine sounds even better than the Pfizer vaccine. Yes. Has a 95% efficacy rate.
Well, not to be outdone.
Right.
Pfizer, of course, raised their estimate.
Okay. Imagine. I did not know that. But and it also has the added bonus that it doesn't need to be stored at 70 below zero. Right. So that makes for storage and transportation a lot easier than the Pfizer vaccine. So
I don't, is it a two-shot?
I'm not sure.
I don't remember hearing that. Pfizer is, I believe.
Okay.
28 days?
I'm not sure, but regardless, it's great that two companies have been able to create these, what look to be successful vaccines within a very short period of time, and they both filed for FDA approval later in the week. But all of that good news wasn't enough to outweigh the short-term news, which was that the virus is pretty much running rampant through specifically the Midwest, and it is we're at levels that we haven't been at before in terms of new cases per day. And there are shutdowns coming in certain parts of the world, not in Florida, but in other areas. People are backing off of the no restrictions idea and putting new restrictions in. California just implemented a 10 p.m. curfew. So
not the only thing they just implemented, a recall petition.
Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised after the news that's come out of
what about took Newsom. So long.
Yeah. The Michigan's going back under lockdown. New York. Closed schools, just all sorts of new restrictions.
You've got to follow the science. Unfortunately, they're following the science of 8 months ago. Current science says, no, don't do it.
Yeah, and especially with the schools, there's really no evidence whatsoever that schools are big transmission sources for the virus, and yet we are going to inconvenience hundreds of thousands mm-hmm. of parents and kids,
sometimes with as much as 24 hours notice.
Right. Well, there was a warning. There was a warning last week that it was probably going to happen.
Yeah,
but the fact that they're doing it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Just be glad that we don't live in those places. That's all I can say about that.
It's a show off type thing between the governor and the mayor.
The real problem with the school thing is that this is going to disadvantage kids who are already disadvantaged mm-hmm. more than it will wealthy
Absolutely.
Kids whose parents can afford people to come watch them and supervise them while they're doing online school, or don't work or have a spouse that doesn't work and can handle that. It's such a disaster. I just don't, there's no reason for this. I really hate it for the kids. The market. So in summary, the market is really torn. Do we trade down on the short-term lockdown, less economic activity in the short-run news, or do we trade up on the long-term news that a vaccine will allow us to return to normal levels of economic activity in the not-too-distant future, most likely? So you can see it in the trading. It's very choppy. There's both upward and downward pressure depending on when the overnight trading has been largely upward. And then during the day, it's largely been the market's been trading down. So who knows what will happen next week? You asked me last week what I thought would happen this week, and I said I think it'll go up and down, and I think I got that about right. So
how's that for noncommittal?
Yeah, but noncommittal, I actually did commit to that's what I thought would happen, and that's what it was.
Volatility is definitely back.
But the good news is that these periods of consolidation in the market are actually quite healthy, especially after a big run-up like we saw in early November and late October. So when things consolidate like this, that's usually the sign that another move is coming either up or down. And my guess would be up just based on the vaccine news. So I don't know when it'll happen, but I do think that the market will push higher in 2021.
Nobody's talking about it, but there are other companies working on their vaccines, too.
Yes.
We haven't heard. When was the last time you heard about J&J?
I think there's six total that are in the late-stage trials.
If these things all start popping at once, then I don't see how they can keep the market down. The problem with any of these that are looking good is producing enough of it, especially since they decided they're going to help produce it and send it all over the world. But if we get more companies and they're able to manufacture the thing in time, we're going to be a lot better off. Much more to come on the market after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a lot more on the market. And speaking of the market, we have a trivia question, as usual, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Now, this week, some of you market watchers probably know that Tesla was finally inducted into the Hall of Fame that they call the S&P 500 Index. That's a substantial move because the S&P is a cap-weighted or capitalization-weighted index. So they're going to be very powerful, as goes Tesla, so will the S&P 500 Index, to a larger degree than with most companies. They had to pull some strings and manipulate things a little bit to get it in there because its impact was so large. The last time that something really large was added to the S&P and had to go through the same kind of maneuverings was several years ago. What company was it? That is our question for today. What was the last time a company inducted into the S&P made as much of an impact as Tesla is going to as of this week? Okay.
All right. Yeah, so back to the market. It was, despite the lack of movement over the last 2 weeks in stocks, the beginning of November was so good that November has been a great month for stocks. Even though the last 2 weeks I've really seen nothing, it was it's pretty remarkable how much the indexes are up in the month of November. And that's not a U.S.-centric trend. It's worldwide.
No. Yeah.
Spain is up 25% in November. Italy is up 23%. Year-to-date, both those markets are still negative, as they are two of the countries that got hit the first and hardest by COVID.
Right.
And that's been the trend in November, as other countries that got hit the hardest have also rallied. So Brazil is up almost 20% in November, but they're down 31% for the year. And another example, the UK is up 17% for the month, but down 15% for the year.
Yeah, and this week's two country losers, India and China.
Mm-hmm.
India was only up 8.8%,
right.
And China was only up 4.4%.
Yep.
You'd have trouble finding a loser out in the big world this past week.
Despite all of that, international stocks are having a really good year in general. Mm-hmm. The Global 100 is up almost 12%, and emerging markets are up nearly 10% in 2020. So
cool.
Despite some of those bigger countries being down year-to-date, overall, the worldwide stock markets have done very well. Fixed income has had an interesting year. In the last 2 weeks, long treasuries have dropped more than 2%, but for the month, they're up 2%. For the year...
And this is not bond-like behavior.
For the year, they're up more than 20%, although earlier this year, they were up closer to 30%. So for a safe asset, quote-unquote safe, that is a lot of volatility.
That is.
Remember Bitcoin? It wasn't that long ago. We couldn't do a show without someone calling in and mentioning it, asking about cryptocurrencies, what's happening with them. And then they just kind of went away for a while, it seemed
faded
like.
Faded down from the upper teens to, well, down on the 3,000 or 4,000 range, just on the Bitcoin U.S.
So they're back. Bitcoin just rallied 70% in the last 6 weeks and is on the verge of taking out its previous highs. I'm still not sure what to think about Bitcoin as an asset class. It's so difficult to understand, and it never really got the traction that a lot of people were predicting, where it would be used for all sorts of transactions. I'm not saying that couldn't happen in the future, but it's a tough thing to wrap your mind around.
I read somewhere this week from one of the usual idiots, I guess, that the reason his... speculative reason, I guess, that Bitcoin is doing what it's doing is that it's a store of value like gold.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a store of value on a thumb drive that can be stolen, destroyed, lost. That's not a store of value.
Well, that's not the only way to store it, though. You can store it at an exchange.
Okay,
let someone else store it for you.
I've read too many stories on people whose hard drives failed or it was some... thumb drives failed, that kind of thing, and they're just gone.
Or they lost them, yeah. It's definitely a risky way to store assets that can be worth $18,000 for one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not any different than keeping cash or gold in your safe at home. It can be stolen. It can be lost in a fire. Risky way to do it.
Much harder, though.
Yeah.
That thumb drive is pretty easy to... And it can fail electronically, too.
But you can put your thumb drive in your safe at home, and then it's exactly the same.
You have a point.
Except for the failure rate. But the failure rate on those things
can you
these
back
days,
up a thumb drive with Bitcoin on it?
I don't know. Probably. Maybe.
Then wouldn't you have twice as many?
I don't know.
That shows you how much we know about this thing.
Exactly. So it's a tough thing to wrap your mind around.
You know this. I wish I'd bought it at $4,000.
Yeah, that is true.
And I would have sold it by now.
Of course.
Yeah.
There was a ton of economic data this week. Most of it was good news. One of the first reports of the week was retail sales, and it actually came in below expectations with a big asterisk, in my opinion. Yeah. It was higher than last month and still a pretty strong reading. It was up 0.3%, and there were upward revisions to previous months of 0.4%. So that is a pretty strong report, especially when you consider that in April – retail sales were down almost 20% from the prior April, and in October, retail sales are now up 5.7% from the previous October.
Yeah, but you can make that sound like bad news if you're in the liberal mainstream media.
I mean, I don't know why they'd want to make it sound like bad news now.
Oh, because it isn't over yet.
It's okay. Not getting into that debate.
No, not on the air.
Housing data continues to surge, with housing starts, mortgage applications, existing home sales, and home builder sentiment all beating expectations. Building permits missed, but the overall trend is pretty clear. People are buying houses at a rate we haven't seen since right before the housing bubble burst, which is driving prices higher in most parts of the country. It is no wonder that home builder sentiment just hit an all-time high last month.
Yeah, and the price hike, of course, is exacerbated by the falling inventory.
Yes.
At the pace of sales right now, we could handle an inventory twice as big as what we've got.
Yeah, there really isn't much out there, and there's a lot of demand, and things are selling quick, especially if they're priced right. But even if they're not, it's only a matter of time before the prices catch up to asking prices, and it's definitely a seller's market right now.
And with longer-term interest rates rising a bit, it's a really good time to get a mortgage yet.
No doubt.
It's going to become a little more expensive, but not for a while.
I don't think you're in any danger of going back to 4 or 5% rates, but
not for a long time.
It's still, I wouldn't be surprised to see it creep up a little bit. So that was what I had for the market wrap.
All right. Well, there was one other thing, and this is about trends. The food business is shifting back to home-based little by little. For a while, restaurants and bars were knocking them dead, and then, of course, this whole COVID thing hit. And people's, because what they do is actually changing now, so the food stores and such are doing better. If you looked at those retail sales with a more specific eye, also you see that one of the losers lately has been gas stations. But if you look at the price of gasoline, you know why. They measure it in dollar volume sales, not in unit sales. So don't feel sorry for your local gas station owner. Just be happy that the price is low. And one more thing. One of the leading market indicators that's been holding very true for quite some time now is the semiconductors. And they are knocking it out of the park. So if you want to put any credence to that, just say that the pressure on the market seems to be upward at this point.
Yeah, I still think that 2021 is setting up to be a good year.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with that. I'm not sure it's going to be based on the right reasons, but I don't really care.
I think it is. I think that if you have a vaccine, that we can return to some almost normal life by late 2021, that's a good reason.
Yeah, that is an excellent reason. I could not agree with you more. All right. How about some potential good news? You've heard us talk about the Secure Act and now the Secure Act 2.0, which is not out of Congress yet. It's not been signed. It's not the law yet. But in the Secure Act, we, especially the people born in my particular year, we really scored on that because it took the required minimum distribution age from 70 and a half to 72. That's a big deal.
Especially if you're still working.
If you're working, it's a really big deal. And the Secure Act 2.0 is, if it passes in its current form, it's going to be to age 75. I think we have a call. We might have to set it up and hold over. Good morning, Ron.
Hi. I was just going to take a fast shot at the trivia question.
Sure.
You mentioned semiconductors. I was going to say advanced micro devices.
That's a very good guess. It's not right, but it's a very good guess.
Well, thank you.
Keep trying. We appreciate it, Ron.
All right.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you.
You too. Thank you, sir.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
And you're right, the semiconductor thing ties right into it. But it isn't that. I'm not going to tell you anymore either.
No. I think this one, when they hear it, they'll say, oh, yeah.
It's a V8 moment, just like that, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, the Secure Act 2.0 could take the retirement age, or the RMD age, from 72 to 75. Now, that only affects about 20% of the people who are in that age group. But for that 20% of people, it is really a good idea. I'm building a computer program at home about how to calculate what it would mean to you, and I'll have it by next week, and I'll tell you the impact.
Now, let's be honest. By computer program, you mean Excel spreadsheet, right?
Computer program.
Okay, Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah. Anyway, a little more of that after the break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And lines are open, 904-222-8255. Trivia question is still out there. We've had one excellent guess that wasn't correct. When was the last time a large company got put into the S&P 500 and had as much impact as what Tesla will have, having been inducted this week? And it's not AMD. Just a couple of things to wrap up on the Secure Act 2.0. Man, I got my fingers crossed on this one, partly because it's such a good idea, partly because it's personal, quite frankly. Actually, the personal side probably outweighs the other one. But for our clients and our actual day jobs, this will be an excellent provision also. But a couple other things. Multi-employer pension plans are standing to gain. It's going to be easier to form them. Not too many of us are very fond of those things, but if smaller employers can benefit from this, then I say glory, glory, hallelujah. But one of the reasons that this thing is getting so much support, and the first one passed with well over 400 votes in the House, and I don't even know how many senators, it was huge. It is truly an example of what bipartisan bills can do if people just sit down and talk about them.
In fact, I think the two lead sponsors, one was a Democrat, one was a Republican.
Exactly. Well, still true. Rob Portman of Ohio and Ben Cardin of Maryland, which just contradicts everything I've said for years, and I absolutely apologize. As I've been saying for years, Ben Cardin is absolutely useless. I can't help it. Sometimes you just got to do that. Anyway, one of the things that I really love about it, how do you feel about automatic enrollment?
I think that it is it should be your choice to opt out, which it is, but the fact that it makes people save, and sometimes they don't even realize it's not a bad thing. It's kind of like paying too much in your taxes and getting a refund.
It's a lot like that.
It's the only way some people are able to save.
Yep. Well, that provision they're trying to make it mandatory that you are in unless you opt out. That keeps getting cut out of the bills. Well, Secure 2.0 is bringing it back, and I feel exactly like Adam does, that is one of the best provisions ever. Now, it doesn't impact the private sector workers, one-third or so, who don't have access to a retirement plan at work, and they didn't do you folks any favors at all because they didn't up anything on the contributions to the IRAs, so I'm hoping that becomes a separate thing. There are things that are just inexplicable out there to me. That's one of them. Why is that so low?
Yeah, it's such an inequity between people that are offered a plan and not offered a plan. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and there are state-level IRA plans?
No.
I didn't either. But this is going to apparently facilitate people who move state to state having been in a state plan. That was just absolutely new to me. Who knows? And they call it a very middle-of-the-road bill, which it is, which is why it got popular last time, and I think this one might well go through. There's so much going on in D.C., I just hope this doesn't slip through the cracks because it's something that we could really use as a country. So we'll see. Andy Biggs, who's a congressman, who's really into this retirement stuff, says this is where things get divisive, and that's how you deal with the mistakes of the past. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. And by the way, congratulations, savers everywhere. The number of 401k millionaires has set an all-time high.
I'm not surprised.
Nor am I. You know, it's really easier to do this stuff with a tailwind in the market rather than a headwind.
No doubt.
Yeah. We're noting a lot of good stuff happening. Good morning, Marshall.
Well, I have a question, but let me give a guess first.
All right.
Texas Instruments.
Oh, another good guess that is not correct.
No. Okay. And I may have been slightly misleading, but it was 100% unintentional.
It's okay. All right, let's presume this 2.0 goes into effect.
Yeah.
Pushing things back to age 75.
Mm-hmm.
I know when it was 70 and a half, it was around like 127, I think, was the rough.
Yeah, you divided by 27.4, it came out about 3.67%.
So, yet the percentage you're going to have to draw is going to increase because it's over a shorter window?
That is a good question.
It is, but there's also two sides to that.
Mm-hmm.
It'll increase on a much bigger...
There's always two sides.
Well, sometimes three. His, hers, and theirs.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you've got much more money in there, assuming that you're invested well and the market keeps growing. So you're going to be taking a slightly larger percentage of a much larger pool of funds. But
gotcha.
This is hopefully going to be passed in conjunction with rewriting of the RMD tables to reflect a longer lifespan. And the program I'm developing, the spreadsheet I'm developing, Adam won't give me any grief about that, is going to take all of that. And I'll have some numbers for you next week. And what I've gotten about halfway through it right now, and I told Adam during the break, it's astounding how good this is going to be for people. How about that?
And then after that all comes to fruition, you'll have Stand back on to explain how those who would rather take some, was it QLAC?
Yeah, yeah.
As a portion of that.
Yep.
So
qualified longevity annuity contract.
The great thing about those is that they shelter that money from being used in your RMD calculation.
Right. And there's no growth on it, but you could call the growth rate of the QLAC the RMD percentage. And you'd be pretty much spot on that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those who don't know, a QLAC is something you can buy inside your retirement plan. It is an annuity contract, but it's not a typical annuity contract in that there's no projected growth. There's no promised growth. In fact, it's state right up front. The value that you buy in will be the same when you start. You can take it up to age 85 and then annuitize it from there. Good news. They don't charge you extra to have the beneficiary clause in it. So whatever's left in there, if you terminate from breathing air, then it goes right back into your account for your heirs to recover. That's a really good thing. The Secure 2.0 has, I didn't see it in this article, but I've seen it in past articles, that it's hopefully fixing to raise the amount, which is now $125,000. What is it, $125,000 or 10%? I don't remember the exact rules, but it's a very limited amount of money, and that apparently is going to go up. So in every way, shape, or form, it's something that people ought to know about and look into. In fact, I might even just do a thing on it in one of the next few weeks because it's a deal. I wish we could get Secure 2.0 passed so I could see the whole thing and I could be more complete. But suffice it to say, you don't have to buy it yet if it goes to 75. Yep. That'd be cool.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Absolutely. Always fun to talk to you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thanks for your call, Marshall.
Bye-bye.
He's a good guy. In case anybody didn't know that, you haven't been listening long enough, you might not understand that. But if you ever need a real serious discussion about a reverse mortgage, call us and we'll tell you how to get hold of Marshall, because that's what he does, and he does it well. Well, here's a call. Good morning, Bosco.
Yes, sir. How y'all doing?
We are wonderful. And you?
Excellent, excellent. I'm in this little town north of you where the Irish is so famous.
Oh, I know about that one. Is that got a river run through it or something like that?
Yes, where the Georgia bass boats are famous.
Oh.
You know, we're talking container-type bass boats.
Cool. I assume you're talking about Savannah, since they have the big parade every year.
Cha-ching.
Yep. All right, what's up today?
Considering what the Obama administration would provide money and the potential of taking that out to pay off our debt going to the roof, with these from this party, do you think they may look at it again?
Masco, well, we're having some trouble. You're cutting out a little bit, and we're going to take a break in just a few seconds. Could you call us back after the break and see if we can get a better connection?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks. All right. I couldn't get enough of that.
Yeah, I couldn't get it either. It was something about Obama administration borrowing money, but that's all I got.
Yeah, me too. So hopefully we'll get to that right after the break. We've got several other topics today, too. But we love the calls, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And without any delay, welcome back, Bosco.
Yes. Just a curious question. With the legacy of the Obama administration, and they're looking into the qualified money as to how they would get their fingers on it, obviously to spend it, do you think that with the with the Biden administration and the spitefulness of, it seems to be Americans, you know, that they would essentially look at the qualified money and, you know, with our deficit going to the roof, you know, that they would be tapping into that to pay down some of that deficit? And would Americans know it, you know, besides, them letting you know on a news report that we are going to do this, you know? Do you think that it's a possibility?
Yes. There's already one proposal out there to limit the size of your retirement accounts.
So,
really?
Yeah, and they do things periodically that do increase their the way that they the amount of money that they can collect. Recently, with the last Secure Act, they actually eliminated the stretch provision on inherited IRAs, right, which was, and moved it down to 10 years. So that was one way to get their hands on that tax revenue quicker. It wasn't that painful because it only affects a certain percentage of people who could inherit an IRA and also had the financial means to not need it.
Well, they had a trade-off built into it, too, because you no longer have to take RMDs on an inherited account, which you had to before.
Right. Yes, that is true.
I'll take that, kind of even up, I'll take that bargain.
Yeah, but they're always looking for ways to expedite the collection of tax revenue. So do I think that they would break into your IRA and somehow make you take it out earlier? I don't think so, especially the trend on that has actually been to push it further with the Secure Act. So I think it's in danger.
I think it's only going to be on size at first anyway.
That I could see happening.
Remember when Mitt Romney was running, the rumor was his IRA was $400 million because he had bought a lot of stock in his company and such, and it did very well. They're looking at something between like 1.4 million and 3.5 million or something as being the limit. And above that, you're going to have to withdraw it on a speedier basis. So the really big ones could take some pain and suffering there. And I think that's a real possibility. I really do.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I don't think that a lot of people get worried that they're gonna take our IRA money and turn it into a pension or something like that. That I don't see happening. Nothing like that. I think your idea about the limit on the size is probably a lot more realistic.
Yeah, there's some other things that could happen in there too. I've been worried for 20 years on if they're going to start doing anything to the Roth IRA, either the income or the principal. And so far, the good news is Roths are growing so big that if they try to do that now, they're going to have a hell of a backlash.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So
I'm feeling a little bit better about that one. But I still say, I look out there and I see exactly one large pool of money that's never been taxed and never will be under today's law, and that's the growth on your Roth.
No, there's two, actually, the growth on your personal residence. Up to $500,000.
Yeah, well,
for a
that's true,
couple.
But they do tax that over the certain amount.
Yeah, over the $500 or $250 for an individual. Right. But there's very few sources of tax-free revenue in this world, and those are two of them.
I think, though, for the 98% of us, it's not something I'm going to worry about in the short run. Let's put it that way. Things could get worse.
Agreed.
What's your thoughts, Bosco?
I don't know. I just, you know, I like to be, you know, try to be as informed as possible, you know, and y'all really, you know, you make it clear, it clarifies it, you know, and I'm sure other people have, you know, were really ignorant as myself, you know, that the Obama administration had, you know, looked into the possibility of, you know, tapping into that pool of monies from hardworking Americans, you know, and you know, with his with their spitefulness of the American Americans, period, you know, that you know, that he did it, you know.
Here's something, I mean, something else to look for. If you go back to the Bush 43 administration, he introduced a plan to basically turn every contribution into a Roth. He was laughed out off the floor, basically, thank goodness. But it's been coming back every few years, and it keeps getting turned down. But it would basically eliminate deductible contributions to retirement accounts. And it's back again. It's alive and well. It hasn't been pushed very hard. But down the road, that would not surprise me.
So the Biden tax proposal actually did something similar. I don't know that it was their intent, but what it would have done had it had a chance of passing, and unless they get the Senate, that it will not. It would make it so that high earners would not benefit from contributing to a traditional
28% at the most.
Right. So they would put all of their money into a Roth. And that would be taxed up front, and it would make more sense financially to do that. So, so that's another way that if you incentivize people to change the way they contribute, that is another way of doing exactly what you're talking about. So, it creates more tax revenue now and less later. And, there are ways to incentivize behavior without necessarily, making sort of stealing money from you, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It would just makes it financially more advantageous to pay taxes now rather than later.
Right. Yeah, the crux of the thing in the short run is that they truly are after the rich. They want the high income, high wealth people to pony up. And as long as they're concentrating on them, you and I don't have a care in the world unless you do. And if you do, all I can say is congratulations.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Well, thanks, you know, thanks for clarifying that. I mean, it, you know, it really does give you a little bit of a peace of mind.
We need it, you know, these days, don't we?
For real.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. Yes.
Did you want to take a shot at the trivia question?
Yeah, I was literally going to say I couldn't even approach that question.
Okay.
I'm just sit back and listen. I'll find out from the
when I tell everybody, you're all going to sit back and say, "Oh, sure, of course."
Yep, I think so too.
Yep.
But we always appreciate your calls, Bosco. Thanks for calling in.
You have a great Thanksgiving.
Back at y'all.
All right, thank you. Bye. Yeah, that kind of stuff. It's on the fringe of the things I worry about. It's not that I don't worry about
exactly.
it
exactly,
but I got a lot of things up front that are.
The other thing
more important right now.
The other thing is, it's such a long process from one senator or one congressman or woman talking about something to it becoming a law that
even one president.
Exactly. The most powerful person in the room, and even that does not become a law. And executive orders only go so far, so it's not something that's going to keep me up at night.
No, I can't worry about too many things all at once from a planning standpoint. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, gentlemen. Quick guess.
Sure.
Intel.
Mm. An excellent guess. Also
but
not.
It isn't right.
Also
I
not.
I feel
right.
like your mention of semiconductors may have swayed this question too much.
I promise you, I had absolutely no intent when I started talking about that. It was on a completely different plane in what I was talking about. So I'll tell everybody right now, it's not a semiconductor company.
Still a good guess.
Well, sorry about that. You know, Ken Bales and I are pretty good friends. I'm just saving him money.
Really? Okay.
Good to hear from you.
One question.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Did you miss me?
Of course.
Absolutely. Don't do that again.
Really?
Have a great Thanksgiving.
Okay. You've got a good sense of humor.
Without it, you're dead.
You're right. Later.
Okay, take care.
We weren't all crazy. We would go insane. Something like that.
I have said it for decades now. Everything that's important in life is already existing in a Jimmy Buffett song.
And they're now taking reservations at the Margaritaville Hotel for April, I believe. So,
really?
Yeah. It's almost done.
That will be a zoo.
Yeah, no doubt.
Especially in Florida. All right. This should come as no surprise except for the instant recognition. Berkshire Hathaway was the last time it had such a big impact. In fact, it was going to be too big, so they weren't going to put it in. And so Warren Buffett went ahead and split his B shares 50-1.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they got all the parameters met for induction into the S&P 500 fund.
And when it got in, it made up 1.1% of the index.
Yeah.
And ironically, Tesla will be within a 0.1% at 1% of the index.
How about that? All right, well, we got to run. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll be back next week live. This is the VanLee Financial Hour.